Deuteronomy chapter 31 and verse 6 says, "Be strong and of good courage. Do not fear nor be afraid of them, for the Lord your God, he is the one who goes with you. He will not leave you nor forsake you." I want us this morning for a few minutes to talk about courage. Please open your Bibles and follow along this morning. If you have any questions, please ask me after the services. Again, I want to remind everybody that we have added the PowerPoint slides to our website. And if anyone wants to look at those later, they can download all of the slides and look and study those. Courage has always been a characteristic of God's people, an important characteristic. Courage, a mental or moral strength to venture, persevere, and withstand danger, fear, or difficulty. Courage. Before his death, Moses challenged the children of Israel to have courage, as we just read in Deuteronomy chapter 31. Joshua reminded the children of Israel of the words of Moses, and in Joshua 1, verse 6, Joshua says, "Be strong and of good courage, for to this people ye shall divide in inheritance the land which I swore to their fathers to give them. Only be strong and very courageous, that you may observe to do all the law which Moses my servant commanded you. Do not turn to the right or to the left, that you may prosper wherever you go." They had a large task before them, a large job to do, going in and taking the land. And Joshua says, "Be strong and of good courage. Be strong and very courageous." We want to notice someone not quite as noticeable as Moses or Joshua, but look at this quiet man, Ananias, and the courage that he had. Our text is going to be from Acts chapter 9, and we're going to look at the courage of Ananias. In Acts chapter 9 and verse 10, "Now there is a certain disciple at Damascus named Ananias, and to him the Lord said in a vision, 'Ananias,' and he said, 'Here am I, Lord.' So the Lord said to him, 'Arise and go to the street called Straight, and inquire at the house of Judas for one called Saul of Tarsus, for behold, he is praying. And in a vision he has seen a man named Ananias coming in and putting his hand on him so that he might receive his sight.' Then Ananias answered, 'Lord, I've heard from many about this man, how much harm he has done to your saints in Jerusalem. And here he has authority from the chief priest to bind all who call on your name.' But the Lord said to him, 'Go, for he is a chosen vessel of mine to bear my name before Gentiles, kings, and the children of Israel. For I will show him how many things he must suffer for my name's sake.' And Ananias went his way, entered the house, and laying his hands on him, he said, 'Brother Saul, the Lord Jesus, who appeared to you on the road as you came, has sent me that you may receive your sight and be filled with the Holy Spirit.'" Verse 18, "Immediately there fell from his eyes something like scales, and he received his sight at once, and he arose and was baptized. So when he had received food, he was strengthened. Then Saul spent many days with the disciples at Damascus. Immediately he preached the Christ in the synagogues, that he is the Son of God." When we go through Acts chapter 9, we usually focus on Saul and overlook Ananias and what he went through in talking to Saul. But notice with Ananias, he was a man of courage, and his courage caused him to be ready in verse 10. When the Lord said to him in a vision, and how did Ananias reply? He said, "Here I am, Lord." He was ready. Remember a couple weeks ago, we looked at the sermon, "How Do We Answer When God Calls?" And when God called Jonah, and Jonah said, "I'm not going," and he ran as far away as he could, God called Moses, and Moses said, "Here I am, send my brother." God called Isaiah. Isaiah said, "Here I am, send me." And here we see Ananias. He said, "Here I am, Lord. Here I am." Ananias was a man of courage. But again, we read that throughout the Bible. In Samuel, 1 Samuel 3:10, the Lord came and stood and called, as at other times, "Samuel, Samuel." And Samuel answered, "Speak, for your servant hears." Do we have that attitude today? Isaiah, what we just referred to, "Here am I, send me." And you consider Abraham, Hebrews 11:8. By faith, Abraham obeyed when he was called out to go to the place which he would receive as an inheritance, and he went out not knowing where he was going. So God calls Abraham to go to a land that he had never been to leave his family, leave the religion that he grew up in, is the idol worship that his family was involved in. And he said, "I want you to go, and I'm going to tell you where to go." And he followed him. These men had courage. And friends, we need to have courage today. And our courage must cause us to be ready to serve God. When we think about being soldiers in the army of God, we can't be cowards. We're in God's army. We need to be ready to preach the gospel as Paul was ready. Romans 1:15, "So much as is in me, I'm ready to preach the gospel to you who are in Rome also." And we just need to remember Paul's attitude and have that same attitude. In that same chapter, he said he was a debtor to preach the gospel. Verse 15, he says he's ready to preach the gospel. Then he says, "I'm not ashamed to preach the gospel." And where was he going to preach it? In Rome. He was ready to go to Rome. And he knew that was going to be the end of his life. But he was ready. He had courage. Friends, we need courage today. We need to be ready to answer any man. Peter tells us in 1 Peter 3:15, "But sanctify the Lord God in your hearts, and always be ready to give a defense to everyone who asks you a reason for the hope that is in you with meekness and fear." So if somebody asks us, "So why do you believe what you believe?" How are you going to answer them? "Well, I don't know. This is how I was raised." Or are you going to say, "Well, let me get my preacher and he can explain it to you"? No, friends, we need to be ready whenever we have the chance to talk to somebody about God's word. And that means we need to know God's word first. We need to be ready. Just like Ananias, we need to have courage. We need to be ready to do good unto all men. Paul wrote in Galatians 6:10, "Therefore, as we have opportunity, let us do good to all, especially to those who are of the household of faith." Do you know anybody that is in need that could use some help? We don't have to look far, but a lot of times, whatever the situation is, we aren't ready. We aren't ready. We need to be ready to give an answer. We need to be ready to help people. We need to be ready to teach people. We need to be ready to preach. Do whatever we can. But what stops people from doing so much of this? Again, part of it, they don't like to hear this word, but it goes back to being a coward. "Well, I can't do that. I can't do that." Friends, God doesn't expect us to do something we cannot do. And a lot of times we can do it. We just tell God, we want to argue with God, "I can't do that." But with Ananias, his courage caused him to be ready. His courage caused him to ponder going where he normally would not have gone. When the Lord was speaking to Saul and he said, "Go to the street called Straight, inquire in the house of Judas for one called Saul of Tarsus. He's praying, and in a vision, he has seen a man named Ananias coming in and put his hand on him so that he might receive his sight. So Ananias, everybody knows who Saul is, and he had letters from Jerusalem, letters of authority that he might go and bind Christians, take them, throw them in prison, or put them to death. Ananias had some reservation, as we'll see in a minute, but he didn't say, I can't do that. I can't go talk to this man. Let me talk to somebody else. Let me talk to anybody else, but I can't talk to this Saul of Tarsus. But no, his courage caused him to ponder going where he normally would not have gone. Friends, we need to develop that courage in our hearts, in our minds, in our lives. That somebody says we need to do this, we just say, okay, let's get at it, instead of thinking of excuses. Have you ever wanted to talk to a loved one, but you were afraid of what they might think? Again, we let that coward come out in us instead of that courage. Have you ever thought about talking to that fellow employee, but you were afraid he might get mad at you, he might laugh at you, or what goes through some people's mind? If I talk to my boss about going to church, you know, he might laugh at me, or I might get passed over for a promotion, or he might not give me a raise. I just keep quiet. Friends, we need to have courage. Have you ever been talking to your next door neighbor, but you couldn't muster up enough courage to talk to them about the gospel? We come in contact with so many people. And I was speaking after class this morning with an individual, and she was telling me about handing out a card yesterday in a store, one of our invitation cards, and you feel uneasy about it, but you never know. We got to get over feeling uneasy. We got to get over feeling like, I can't talk to this person. We've got the most important message there is, and they need to hear it. All those situations prove is that we're human. But we need to develop the kind of courage that God would want us to have. 2 Timothy 1:7, Paul writing to Timothy, the young preacher, God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of sound mind. Well, do we have fear sometimes? Sure. We all have fear. I have fear. Did God give that to me? No. Who gave that to me? Why let Satan plant that seed of fear in my head? And I've got to be careful, because if I don't get that seed of fear out, we know what it's going to do. It's going to take root. That little seed's going to take root. It's going to sprout up. And then that, the expression, you know, you're making a mountain out of a molehill, that little seed is going to grow. God has not given us a spirit of fear. If we have fear, that's coming from Satan. God has given us a spirit of power and of love and of a sound mind. That sound mind, that sober-mindedness, that ability to discern between right and wrong, to make judgments of what we need to do. Well, courage caused them to be ready, caused them to ponder going where he normally would not have gone. Courage caused him to be realistic. In verses 13 and 14, Ananias answered, Lord, I've heard from many about this man, how much harm he has done to your saints in Jerusalem. And here he has authority from the chief priests to bind all who call on your name. So Ananias, he was ready. He was ready to go where he normally wouldn't have gone, but he still knew of the situation that he would be in. And friends, brethren today need to be informed and know what is going on in the brotherhood and in the world. Again, Ananias, they didn't have newspapers back then. He didn't turn on the radio, didn't turn on the TV, didn't look at his phone to see what the news was. He knew what was going on. We need to know what's going on, or Satan is going to catch us off guard. We need to know who is destroying the cause of Christ, whether they are members or non-members. That's, you know, I was telling Carol yesterday, I was emailing back and forth with one of the men that I've mentioned before, Brother Noble, in Nigeria, and I know he takes a stand for the truth. And the other brother that I was talking about, I said, I don't believe he stands for the truth. And I have this time and language challenge, and asked Brother Noble if he would talk to the other brother. And he did. And within a series of a few emails back and forth, he had gotten to the point, and I told Carol, I said, you know, we live in a society where people want to just tiptoe around everything and not ask the questions we need to know. We won't talk about that. We'll just keep things nice and friendly, and everybody will get along. And what happens? Everybody gets along, and then they're going to lose their souls. We need to know what's going on. And it takes courage, and it takes courage to speak to people and ask them those questions. We don't have to do it in a mean way. We can do it in a loving way. We care about your soul. Or, you know, I'm curious, what do you believe about this? What do you believe about that? And help me understand why you believe that. And as we were talking about with the class this morning in Titus, I may say something you disagree with. But let's study the Bible together, and then we need to follow God. I might be wrong, you might be wrong, we might both be wrong, but God's word is never wrong, and we need to study his word. Ananias was not trying to forsake his work. He wasn't trying to get out of doing it. He was just making sure he was following the right course. Paul was the man persecuting and killing Christians. So naturally, Ananias feared for his life and wanted to be certain of the situation. He's not the only one that was fearful. We go back to 1 Kings 19. Elijah fled for his life after killing the prophets of Baal. Even Jesus himself fled on occasions. John 8:59. Then they took up stones to throw at him, but Jesus hid himself and went out of the temple, going through the midst of them, and so passed by. And Luke 4:28. So all those in the synagogue, when they heard these things, were filled with wrath, and rose up and thrust him out of the city. They led him to the brow of the hill on which their city was built, that they might throw him down over the cliff. Then passing through the midst of them, he went his way. See, Jesus stepped out of some challenging situations at time. And the one in Luke 4, I find very interesting. They want to take him, throw him off this cliff, out of the city, up on this brow on the hill, so that they wanted to throw him over the cliff. And it doesn't say that he worked any miracle. It says, then passing through the midst of them, he went his way. And why did they want to kill him? Because he had been in the synagogue teaching as one that had authority. They didn't like what he was teaching. And this is how they dealt with a lot of problems. Unfortunately, it didn't end then. It's happened so many years following then. If they don't like what's being said, we'll just kill the person. We'll just kill the person. We'll get rid of him. And when they take Jesus out to throw him over the cliff, and it says, passing through the midst, he went his way. And when we read about Peter denying Christ, and then it says, and Jesus looked at Peter, and that would be a look you would never forget. And I imagine when Jesus went through this crowd and looked at some of these men, looked them in the eye. Some of those men were probably the ones, could have been some of the ones that pursued him till they finally had him put to death. But Jesus didn't back down. He had courage. He left the situation, but he had courage going through this crowd. We need to be realistic about our courage today. We need to study the situation. We need to make righteous judgments. We need to be willing to do whatever's needed, but we need to make sure, first and foremost, that what we are doing is in God's Word. We need to follow God's Word. Well, with Ananias, his courage caused him to be receptive to God's Word. Verse 15, the Lord said, "Go, for he is a chosen vessel of mine to bear my name before the Gentiles, kings, children of Israel. I'll show him many things he must suffer for my name's sake." And Ananias went his way and entered the house, and laying his hands on him, he said, "Brother Saul, the Lord Jesus, who appeared to you on the road as you came, has sent me that you may receive your sight and be filled with the Holy Spirit." So when God told him what was going to take place with Saul, Ananias didn't stutter or argue or hesitate. Ananias went his way and entered in the house. Again, that's the attitude that we need to have. When God tells us to do something, we just need to get busy doing it. Ananias was ready to do what was needed. He was realistic to the situation. And when he realized that through the word of the Lord, God meant what he said, he was receptive to what God said. Friends, when are we going to realize that God means what he says to us? And we need to do what God says. Many times we think one way and God thinks another. Isaiah 55 verse 8, "For my thoughts are not your thoughts, nor are your ways my ways, says the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. For as the rain comes down and the snow from heaven, and do not return there, but water the earth, and make it bring forth and bud, that it may give seed to the sower and bread to the eater, so shall my word be that goes forth from my mouth. It shall not return to me void, but it shall accomplish what I please, and it shall prosper in the thing which I send it." So when you see a shower, when you see the rain coming down, have you ever seen the rain come down and then 2 minutes later seen the rain go back up in the sky? You never see that. Have you ever seen the snow come down and then the snow go back up into the sky? You never see it. Verse 10, "As the rain comes down and the snow from heaven, they do not return there. They water the earth. They make it bring forth and bud, that it may give seed to the sower and bread to the eater." Why is Isaiah telling them about the rain and the snow? He's making a comparison, a parallel to God's word. "So shall my word be that goes forth from my mouth. It shall not return to me void, but it shall accomplish what I please, and it shall prosper in the thing which I sent it." So we must study the word so that when opportunities arise, we'll be grounded and settled to the point of making righteous judgments, and then be ready to do what God said. Think of the courage it took to go to Saul like God commanded him. Ananias knew, he knew that Saul could have taken him, put him in chains, taken him back to Jerusalem, had him thrown in prison or put to death. Ananias was a man of courage. Courage helped him get great results. So when he had received food, verse 19, he was strengthened. Saul spent some days with the disciples at Damascus. So this person that had been killing Christians now goes and is spending time with Christians at Damascus. Verse 20, immediately he preached the Christ in the synagogues that he is the Son of God. How much time did Saul waste after he was baptized? How long is immediately? Immediately he preached Christ in the synagogues that he's the Son of God. Then all who heard were amazed and said, "Is this not he who destroyed those who called on his name in Jerusalem and has come here for that purpose, so that he might bring them bound to the chief priests?" But Saul increased all the more in strength and confounded the Jews who dwelt in Damascus, proving that this is the Jesus Christ. You want to know one of the ways to get courage? You do something that you're afraid to do, and once you do it, it gives you courage. And then it gives you courage to do more. And you do that, and then it gives you more courage. And that's why you go back to the Old Testament. David went through spiritual boot camp when Goliath was taunting the Israelites, "Send somebody out to fight me." And he said, "I'm not afraid to go fighting." He said, "God delivered me from a lion and a bear. He's going to deliver me from this uncircumcised Philistine." See, he had built up that courage. He said, I'm going to take this Philistine and cut his head off. But he didn't get courage right at that moment. It was from a series of things leading up to that. So whenever we have an opportunity to do something, we always need to say yes. And if we fail, we learn from it. But then we do it again and again, and we'll have courage. What if Ananias had been afraid to say what Paul needed to hear? What if Ananias said, "Okay, Lord, I'll go and talk to Saul. And then he goes and talks to Saul, and he only talks about the existence of God. Or what if he had preached unity and diversity? "You know, Saul, people believe all kinds of things, and we just need to get along with each other." What if he had told Paul he had the right to disagree? What if he had said, "You need to love Jesus. Saul, you need to love Jesus." And then Ananias had just walked off. What if Ananias had told Paul how great the law of Moses was and just talked about the old law and didn't talk about Christ? What did Ananias talk to him about? He talked to him about things that it would have taken courage to talk to this man about, that was putting to death Christians. But Ananias had the courage to talk to Paul and tell him what he needed to hear. How about us? How about us? We never know who the person we convert will convert. It's one of David's favorite songs. We never know how many seeds are in that apple. We never know who the person we convert will convert. And somebody will say, "You only baptized one person." What if that one person was Peter that preached on the day of Pentecost? What if that person was Paul? Ananias didn't know that Paul would go on 3 missionary trips and would convert hundreds, if not thousands. He didn't realize that when he went to Paul, that he was assisting the man who would write 13 or 14 books of the New Testament. But we only have a record of Ananias teaching and converting one person. How about us? If one person is all you convert, God gets the glory. We never know what's going to come from that. These young children that are here, they marry someone, teach them the gospel. They have a godly family, raise up godly children. We never know. All we can do is obey Matthew 13 and sow the seed of the kingdom. There's no telling what one of your converts might accomplish. And by studying the life of this great man, we can see the kind of courage it takes to please God. We need patience and tact, but we also need courage. We need courage to take stands and contend for the truth. Preachers need courage to open their mouths and preach the gospel. Members need courage to support preachers in the proclamation of the truth. And it takes courage to break away from whatever it is that is keeping us from Christ. Courage, the courage of Ananias. I had asked Ryan if he would lead the song that he did before the lesson, Anywhere with Jesus. And that song came to mind when I was thinking of courage. Anywhere with Jesus, I can safely go. Anywhere he leads me in this world below. Sometimes we don't want to go somewhere unless we know what the journey's going to be like all along the way. Jesus doesn't do that with us. He leads us into these areas where we have to trust in him. Anywhere without him, dearest joys would fade. Anywhere with Jesus, I am not afraid. Anywhere, anywhere, fear I cannot know. Anywhere with Jesus, I can safely go. Anywhere with Jesus, I am not alone. Other friends may fail me, he is still my own. Though his hand may lead me over dreary ways, anywhere with Jesus is a house of praise. Anywhere with Jesus, I can go to sleep. When the darkening shadows round about me creep, knowing I shall waken never more to roam, anywhere with Jesus will be home, sweet home. Friends, we all need courage. We need to have courage to do what is right, to talk to others. If we have not obeyed the gospel, friends, we need to have the courage to do that. That can be something that people are afraid of doing. What are my friends going to think? What's my family going to think? What's going to happen to me? Friends, we put first things first. We put God first in our life. We obey him. We become a New Testament Christian. We have courage to serve him each day, and he will richly bless us, not with money and fame and things, but with the forgiveness of our sins and a life with him forevermore in heaven. Friends, if there's anyone that needs to respond to the gospel invitation, we invite you to come forward now as we stand and sing.